So whoever was with us yesterday knows what happened. And for those who weren't, I'll just bring you up to speed. Yesterday I said if there's any children under the age of 6, just go to the stand outside and collect a snack, a juice as well as a packet of crisps. And they told me, Sheikh, if you make that type of announcement, it's going to be expensive. I said, no problem, give the bill to Shakil from Abdullah Aid. So today I was there in the stalls and I found another stall. I got hold of them. I said, I want to take things from you to give on the stage today. So mashallah, we've got from the brothers at Kuwa, they do some books as well as some beard oil. So I'll just ask two or three questions, inshallah. And again, I apologize to the brothers at the back. Anybody under the age of 10, just go to the Abdullah Aid stall and get a snack. Get a packet of crisps as well as a juice. Choose what you want. Brother Shakil will sort it out, inshallah. So I've got three questions, and mashallah, they gave me the best books they have, as well as beard oil. I think the beard oil can also be used on the head. So I'll start off with a few questions before getting into the topic. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, He mentions many different stories. And the stories which have a lot of benefit for every single one of us are the stories of the Anbiya, the stories of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so, some of the scholars have actually written individual volumes just speaking about the stories of the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So my first question is, who knows how many prophets of Allah are mentioned in the Quran by name? There's a small girl here. I can't see. Are you not? How many? 25. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent many prophets, many anbiya. And from amongst them, He chose to mention 25 by name. And that's the easiest question at the moment because these are very heavy. And as you can see, I'm going to give those out next. So the brother who's here, maybe you can help me and get this to the sister who is there. Who knows the Prophet of Allah who is mentioned the most in the Quran? Do I choose from this side or that side? Okay, look. One is a hard copy and one is a soft copy. So they told me the hard copy is the better one. So I'll leave that one for a bit of a more difficult question. Who's the Prophet of Allah mentioned the most in the Quran? Who knows? I think you all know. You can shout it out. Musa alayhi salam. And how many times is Musa alayhi salam's name mentioned in the Quran? We'll take one from here for this prize and one from there for the next. The one there in the middle. Who's the boy there? Yes. 25, mashallah, amazing. Come here and you can collect this book. Musa alayhi salam is mentioned by name. Musa alayhi salam is not mentioned by name 25 times. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Okay, can I tell you the answer quickly? Who's going to help him since he's gotten here all the way? No, not 250. 136 times. So mashallah, you must just go to Kuwa and also collect a book. Don't worry. What's your name?
Roshan,
mashallah. Do you have anything to tell the people? What do you want to tell them? Tell them, are you learning Quran or not?
I'm starting to memorize the Quran with my dad.
Mashallah, amazing. Allah grant you goodness. And who knows our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many times is his name mentioned in the Quran? Take it from here. First hand went up there at the back. How many times? Not two. Try again. Four times. Now, because I can't see all the way there, I'm going to give one of the volunteers, and inshallah you will get it. Habibi, just take this and you can send it there. The name of our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned four times in the Quran. Now the reason I started like this is because when we speak about the Quran, There's many lessons, many different benefits we've got to take from it. Today, understanding that the theme is about healing and hope for the ummah, I want to touch on the story of Musa alayhi salam. We all know the story, but do we realize that the story of Musa alayhi salam is actually a story filled with hope? Why do I say that? From our perspective, we see that apparently it seems throughout his life, the odds are always stacked against him. This is from a human perspective. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's happening. Before he's born, what's his chance of survival? What's his chance of survival? Maybe 0.1%. Why? Because Fir'aun is killing all the children from Banu Israel. In some riwayat, only the male children. Musa alayhi salam was born. And statistically, it was impossible for him to survive. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose. Not only would he survive, but he would grow up in the palace of the enemy. The enemy will take care of Musa alayhi salam. Already the story starts. Allah jalla wa ala tells the mother of Musa alayhi salam, throw him or put him into the river and don't worry after that. Eventually, Musa alayhi salam reaches the palace of Fir'aun. He grows up there. Obviously, they know that he's not from amongst them. But because the wife of Fir'aun had a liking for Musa alayhi salam, she told her husband, maybe we can take him as a son. He's still a young boy. Allah jalla wa ala chose that he would grow up in the palace. Again, as he's growing up, Allah jalla wa ala says, one day Musa alayhi salam was walking in the city. And he saw somebody from his tribe and somebody from the tribe or the clan of Fir'aun. The one from his tribe calls for help. Oh Musa, help me. And Musa alayhi salam, he strikes the person. And Allah jalla wa ala says, فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. This person died. This person passed away. Immediately Musa alayhi salam realizes that it wasn't befitting of him to do that. قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Oh Allah, this is an action from the devil. And this devil wants to misguide us. And I'll just divert slightly. So many times, in fact all the time throughout your day as well as through your night, shaitan plans how to take you astray. Shaitan carries on whispering. Shaitan carries on beautifying sin. And a believer may fall into a sin. A believer may make a mistake. What is commendable or what is required if a person made that mistake is to immediately turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't allow shaitan to make you feel hopeless. Don't allow shaitan to make you think that there's no tawbah for me. Here Musa alayhi salam makes a mistake, and this was before prophethood, but he acknowledges, قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. This action is from shaitan, and this shaitan, إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ مُضِلٌ مُبِينٌ. He wants to misguide everybody. He wants to take them astray. Eventually, Musa alayhi salam, the news of what happened, that incident spreads throughout the city. And a man comes to him. قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُوكَ. Oh Musa, if you guys want to sit here in the front, then you'll have to sit quietly. Or we'll have to take back the prizes. Eventually he says, قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُوكَ. The people want to kill you. فَخْرُجْ إِنِّي لَكَ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. So you better leave quickly. Again, imagine everybody is after you. He grew up at a disadvantage in the sense that he wasn't from the people of Fir'aun. All of a sudden, everybody wants his head. In our terms, he's in a very difficult situation. People would feel hopeless. Imagine today when somebody hasn't paid their taxes and they tell you that, you know what, the authority is after you because you did something wrong. Everybody starts to shake. They fear. They don't want to do anything. So Musa alayhi salam, they want his head. So this man says, "Oh Musa, you better leave. Fakhruj inni laka minan nasihin." Musa alayhi salam goes, he goes towards Madian. And he makes a dua. Qala rabbi najjini min al-qawm al-zalimin. Oh my Lord, save me from the oppressive people. Again, where it seemed there was no hope, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants Musa alayhi salam the tawfiq and he moves towards Madian. He reaches a place.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee, infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. Right now, get 61% off your first Coffee Plus starter kit and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
This way he's got nothing. And he sees that there's those who have animals who are watering their animals, i.e. they bring them to the place where they need to drink. And there's two girls who are waiting. Musa alayhi salam goes up. He sees this. He says, "Qala ma khatbukuma." What's your issue? What's wrong? They said, "Qalata la nasqi hatta yusdira ar-ri'a wa abuna shaykhun kabir." We wait for everybody to finish and then we take our animals. Why? Because it's difficult to go, literally, it's difficult to go while everybody is there and our father is an old man, i.e. if he was younger, stronger, he would have come. So Musa alayhi salam, he takes those animals, makes them drink. Allah says, فَسَقَى لَهُمَا ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ. Then he goes into the shade and he makes a dua. فَقَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. My Lord, he's in need. He's left his homeland. He's left any connections he had. There's people who are after him. He's got no house, no shelter, no food, no drink. He does his good deed and he says, "Oh my Lord, whatever goodness you send my way, I'm in need of it." رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. And this is a dua that it's recommended. It's of goodness if you could memorize it and call out to Allah with it. Because a prophet of Allah made this dua and look at what Allah gave him after that. He was looking for, or he was in need of food and drink and shelter and safety. Immediately after that, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, one of the girls comes, they tell Musa alayhi salam, "Our father wants you." He goes to the father. He gets a place to stay. He is safe. This father of theirs, they mention in the books of tafsir, his name was Shu'aib, a pious man. Some of the riwayat mention he was the prophet of Allah, Shu'aib. Wallahu a'lam. He gives Musa alayhi salam comfort. And he says, "Don't worry. You are in a safe place now." From having nothing, he's now safe. Eventually, the next verse, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, Musa alayhi salam, he spends his time in Madian. And he's traveling back. What does he get after that? Something even better. The best that a person can get, he gets prophethood. Allah Jalla wa'ala calls out to Musa alayhi salam, and the story is in Surah Taha. And he gives him the responsibility of delivering the message to the Pharaoh. In Surah Taha, Allah Jalla wa'ala makes mention of his gifts upon Musa alayhi salam. "We saved you when you were young. You wanted your brother to come as a prophet. We sent him with you. We gave you prophethood," etc. Eventually, we all know the story. Musa alayhi salam goes to the Pharaoh and he delivers the message. What's the lesson that I want to derive? Bearing in mind that our topic is about giving hope. Musa alayhi salam, from having nothing, apparently seeming that all the odds are stacked against him, he goes to a place that he's unfamiliar with. But because he's a believer, he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever goodness he could help the people with, he helps, not expecting anything in return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates him. He gives him part of the dunya that he required to live. He gives him a spouse, he gives him a place to stay, he gives him safety, etc., and he gives him prophethood. Over and above that, when Musa alayhi salam reaches the Pharaoh, he gives him the message, and the Pharaoh rejects. The Pharaoh is not interested. He starts to con his people, saying that Musa and his people, they just want to take over the kingdom. And Allah Jalla wa Ala chooses that there will be a day where all the magicians meet. This was decreed by Allah. For us, again, it seems that the odds are stacked against Musa and his brother Harun, alayhi salam. All the magicians of the land are gathering in one place. Why? The best of the best. Just to fix two people. And on that day, the magicians throw their staff. Now, just imagine you were there on that day. You know, sometimes you go to these events or you go to a place where there's a lot of people gathering to watch a spectacle. And so many times, the odds are stacked against somebody. Even if you're not that somebody, don't you feel it inside you? Am I right or wrong? The people watching start feeling nervous. They start feeling scared, even if you're watching it through the television. Imagine on that day how it was. Musa alayhi salam and his brother Harun against the whole community who was there, the whole city. And Allah Jalla wa Ala tells Musa alayhi salam, don't fear. After they threw their serpents, you throw yours. Throw your staff. And the staff of Musa alayhi salam turns into a serpent and eats up all the magic that the magicians came with. Is Fir'aun convinced? He knows the truth. But apparently he's not going to admit. So he says, we need to put an end to these people. Eventually Allah Jalla wa Ala tells Musa and Harun alayhi salam with the believers, he says, you better leave because Fir'aun and his people are following you. Again, it seems that the odds are always stacked against him. From childhood, even when he's a teenager, even when he's got prophethood and delivered the message of Allah, and now he's won, literally, he's won the battle. He's shown the people that what I've come with is true and it's not magic. It's the word of Allah, the message of Allah. And they still don't want to believe. And they said, now we're going to put an end to him. Finally, him and his people, we don't want them. إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَشِرْذِمَةٌ قَلِيلٌ. Eventually, Musa alayhi salam and Banu Israel, they leave. And Allah Jalla wa Ala says, Fir'aun and his people realize that they have left. So they start pursuing. And they reach a dead end. They reach where the water is in front of them and the army of Fir'aun and his people are behind. قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. The people who are with Musa alayhi salam, even though they've been through the struggle, this trial, this tribulation, here they say, now it's over. We've been caught. There's no escape from this. You can just imagine how it would have been at that time. You left everything, you struggled, only to be brought in front of the water, in front of the sea, and you've got the army behind you. And Musa alayhi salam, because he had belief, he always had hope in Allah, what's known as ar-raja. He never ever thought bad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he is considered to be one of the best that ever lived from the ulul azm of the anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. His people telling him, inna lamudrakun, we've been caught, it's over. With full belief, conviction, hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives them a firm answer and he says, qala kalla, never, it's not going to happen. Inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. My Lord is with me and he will guide me. He will guide us through this. He's going to save us. What do we learn from this? Many, many benefits, many lessons we can take. The one I want to touch on is never, ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for you to be that person, number one, you've got to trust Allah. Whatever happens in your life, know that Allah had decreed that this would happen to you, good or bad. Allah chose it to happen. Yes, you've got, as a human being, some sort of ability and capability. You ordered to make the effort. More than that, what's out of your hands? Trust Allah. Goodness comes your way, alhamdulillah. Some sort of difficulty comes your way, again, alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. We praise Allah on every condition. So number one, put your trust in Allah. And number two, always have hope. The story of Musa alayhi salam is actually a story full of hope, especially when we, in our day-to-day lives, on a personal level, family level, community level, global level, everybody going through difficulty and hardship, we go back to these stories to give us inspiration. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of the Quran. I know time is short and I'm going to end on one point. When you live with the Quran, when you are attached to the Quran, when you have a relationship with the Quran, you'll find that Allah will open your doors. You'll have peace, tranquility. You will have goodness and barakah, because the Quran is a blessed book and Allah calls us to ponder and reflect over its verses. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarak liyadabbaru ayatih. One of the reasons, so you may ponder and reflect over its verses. You're able to extract lesson, and that will give you the comfort, and it will give you the peace, and it will give you the power to go through the challenges of life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us all, and may He gather us in the highest part of Jannah. Ameen. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.